DW Africa Link.
I believe there is genocide and there is persecution against Christians being carried out in this country. Take a look at Plateau State. When you see how villages are being sacked, churches are desecrated, worshippers are killed, people are kidnapped. Take the census, count the bodies. It points to all of that.
What is happening is quite sad, and we must admit the fact that it's the reality, and this is a fact that Christians are being killed.
Tensions between Nigeria and the U.S. are escalating, with Washington considering sanctions and increased security involvement in Nigeria. This response follows U.S. claims of years of violence against Christian communities, religious freedom abuses, and Nigerian government failures to protect civilians. What is the current situation on the ground? And could U.S. intervention help save lives in Nigeria? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
The latest incident in Nigeria that triggered international outcry was when gunmen abducted over 300 students and teachers from St. Mary's Catholic School in Niger State. The U.S. concern is framed through international religious freedom law, designating Nigeria as a country of particular concern, CPC, over what it calls systematic, ongoing, egregious violations, including large-scale attacks on churches, villages, and pastors, and impunity for attackers. President Donald Trump is now demanding more decisive action from Abuja to protect Christians, tying religious freedom conditions directly to sanctions threats, aid decisions, and possible military engagement. Let's get more from fellow Sam Eke, a political analyst and former presidential candidate. Ben Chimang is also here with us. He's CW's correspondent in Abuja, Nigeria. Welcome, both of you, to Africa Link. Sam Eke, help me understand why the U.S. government is so focused on violence against Christians in Nigeria. Is it a genuine concern, you think, or is there more to it?
Well, I want to believe it's a genuine concern because as the United States stands, they happen to be defender of democracy in any part of the world. Once a country is practicing democracy, they want to ensure that things are done properly. And particularly, I want to say it without misery, without any mistake, that Christians have been on the receiving end more than any other group, more than any other religion. Therefore, they are coming in to say that people are free to worship their God without intimidation, without losing their life. It's not a wrong thing to do.
So you have no issues with the U.S. President Donald Trump getting involved in the situation in Nigeria. But as we're speaking now, he is considering, or the U.S. is considering, sanctions on Nigeria if they don't deal with the issue. And remember, not too long ago, they even threatened military action to deal with the situation. What do you make of all of that?
I really want to tell you that a lot of people are thinking that there is no sanction already. There are sanctions already. They may not be in public domain for you to see. I have a friend that worked with USAID, and for some time, the way and manner by which they get paid and every other thing, they have been complaining, they have been suffering. Do you understand me? That is to say that the United States government already knew that their investment in Nigeria in order to strengthen democracy has not really yielded desired result. So talking about sanctions, sanction is already in place in a bit, but now it will be made pronounced in such a way that even the deaf and the dumb, the blind, can realize that the U.S. government have really sanctioned, and they are doing it with every good intentions. There is no denying the fact that along the line, they have one or two interests to protect, but those interests couldn't have come up if we have done our own homework as a country. The fact is that the APC-led administration in Nigeria has really failed totally in its primary assignment of providing security and welfare to the people. And that is the primary assignment of any government. And once you have done that, the drowning man, a man that is looking for survival, how to remain afloat instead of sinking into a river, will stretch his hand for any hand that will help him out of that dangerous position.
So, look, it's easy for you to say this because, you know, you are a former presidential candidate. The last time, correct me if I'm wrong, was in 2019. So, you know, you are in the opposition. So you can speak from that point of view. But is it okay for you that another world leader is getting this much involved in the politics of your country? Is that okay? Are Nigerians okay with it? Are you okay with that?
What is important now is to save people from dying, not pride. Let us keep pride aside. And at times, people could even go as far as talking about the sovereignty of a nation and all those stuff. And I ask the question, Nigeria as a country, have we been respecting other people's sovereignty? Hasn't been a situation where we have intervened in other people's affairs in order to make sure that democracy is restored? What about the issue of Ekumog and things like that? And how the way and manner that somebody like Nnamdi Kanu was kidnapped, brought back to this country, did we respect the sovereignty of the country where he was kidnapped from? The question is no. Nigeria is looking for help. And that help is to ensure that people will stop dying. Do you know the number of persons that are dying even as we speak now? And the leaders are not taking it seriously. They are just behaving as if those dead bodies that are being buried in troves, they are not human beings. Everyone in Nigeria is practically existing. Nobody is living. Let us face the reality. Let's stop window dressing the whole thing. Let's tell the world the truth. When people are dying in thousands and the government of the day is not doing anything practically reasonable to correct this situation, and somebody is offering you a helping hand, and it's not as if this helping hand, you have not received it in the past. You have received it in the past. And moreover, when you were not in power, these things were not at this level. They have worsened. And you cry to high heaven. You are even the one that tendered the request that the man is attending to now. Why Goodluck was in power? It was the same this president in power, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, among others, that led the delegation to Trump and asked for a helping hand. If the man now decide on his second term to look at that request based on the realities on ground now, why is it that people are crying foul when there is no foul? Please, we need help in Nigeria to stop the killing, to stop the kidnapping, because if it is not nip in the bud, the next action cannot be ascertained. Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much for breaking that down for us. I'm just wondering, again, to you, why you think this government and indeed previous other governments haven't done enough to protect their own people. And also, are you directly saying that there's clearly a situation in Nigeria where Christians are being attacked for being Christians? That's an actual serious problem on the ground. Is that what we're saying here?
Exactly. I'm not trying to call it just a walking material. I'm calling a spade a spade. I'm hitting the nail on its head. I have said it and I will keep on saying it without fear, without favor, without bias. Because once there is a repeated attempt, either on a tribe, on a particular tribe, on a section of the country, on a particular religion, and when you compare the number of people that have died in this process, I will repeat myself here in the proverbs I have been given, a woman that lost 3-4 children in a worse situation shouldn't be crying more than a woman or a village that lost not less than 50,000 of people.
Thank you very much for that contribution. And I am pretty sure Ben Adam Shimanga, our correspondent, has been keenly listening. Can you really highlight the current situation on the ground for Christian communities, as U.S. President Trump suggests that they are under attack?
It is bad to the extent that I've seen some journalists go to some communities. One, Luke Abiniat, for example, he's gone to communities that used to live in some areas. All you now see are ruins. People are no longer there. If you go to some areas in Plateau State, you just see that communities that were populated by Christians, some of these areas do not have places of worship, neither do they have the worshipers. You go to Benue State, for example, you're finding some of these things in like manner. And that is why you also see, in terms of internally displaced persons in these Christian areas, I mean, they don't have places to live. What you call public schools, that's just where they live, even as we are talking, many of them, you know. So,
why are Christians being targeted and killed, if that's what you're suggesting? Why?
Yeah, I think why has to simply be that there are some hardened criminals, very hardened terrorists, who feel that everyone must be their own kind of worship the way they want. And it is different from those who are taking the middle cost. And in doing their attacks, Eddie, I want to tell you that sometimes they go into mosques too and kill even worshippers, worshipping early in the morning. And so they will not spare the Muslims, and they won't spare the Christians either. And so for the churches, truly, they have to that will have to be set ablaze. Those worshiping will have to be killed. It happened in Kwara State, where worshippers were in church just about 10 days ago. They went there and did their killing, kidnapped some, and took them away.
We know that recently hundreds of people were kidnapped from a Catholic school. And this actually has armed that pressure that the U.S. is saying that it's going to sanction the Nigerian government. How is the Nigerian government responding to that U.S. pressure and the talk of sanctions?
The president decided to look inwards. What is he going to do? At the point he was ready to go for the G20 summit, I mean, he decided to cancel it. He was supposed to go to Angola. He canceled it. Then there are deployment of troops around the area just to ensure that something is done, a kind of yielding to pressure from America. Then the government of Nigeria has decided to send a group of government officials to go talk to some Americans, you know. And we are doing all of this when Nigeria does not have high commissioners or ambassadors abroad, even at the United Nations. So nobody is speaking for Nigeria at the international arena. Right now, Tinubu is quickly penciling down names of ambassadors to be posted here and there. And the Minister of State for Defense is actually from Zamfara State. Tinubu told him, look, don't stay in Abuja, go to Zamfara. And that's why he was able to go. And these students that were taken from KB State, they were found in Niger State and set free. Majority of them are Christians. Christians were also, I mean, mission schools were attacked. Baptist in Kaduna, or a private university along Kaduna Abuja Expressway, they were attacked. Then you had a missionary school, a Catholic school in Fadan Kagoma, that was attacked. So that is why many people tend to see, why is it that it has to be Christian schools, and not just that you target the clergy. Reverend Fathers, as we are talking right now, some are still being held.
Clearly, this is quite widespread. I'm just wondering what the public reaction in Nigeria is to this, because they've seen it so many times and nothing seems to be done. And now the U.S. is trying to heap more pressure on the government to do something. How are people in Nigeria reacting to this?
They are reacting in three different camps. There is the camp that will say, look, there is genocide, there is persecution of Christians. Another group will say, no, there is no genocide according to UN definition of what it is. There is no genocide as to the meaning in a dictionary. But you find people who are neutral. They will neither say yes, nor no, but what they will simply say is that, yes, there is a killing. But Nigerians are actually worried. Many of them, life matters.
Right. Thank you very much, Ben. Let me come to you, Sam. Because knowing all this and knowing that the U.S. is threatening sanctions and even earlier threatened military engagement, is that the way to go to actually deal with the situation on the ground in Nigeria?
If it's going to take an external father to remind the father in-house of his responsibility, the people will accept it. And once your father in the house is providing for you, will you look outside for the father outside, another person's father to provide for you? The answer is no. It is the president of the country, the leadership, and every other person who are responsible for this security and that have failed to provide this security that everyone is blaming. For every utterances Trump is making, for his moves, for sanctions, and every other thing. We would have preferred a situation whereby we can solve our problem internally. But in an international community, and as a member of the world organizations we are, we belong to the UN and other respective ones. And on our own, even when South Africa was in problem, we assisted. And we are saying now, this is not time for pride. People are dying. We are talking because we are alive. Those who are dead, will they talk? The question is no. Let us save people from dying first. Life is sacred. We need to save people from dying. And that's why the people of Nigeria overwhelmingly, they want Mr. President to do his bit. And since he is failing to do his bit, if external people, even if Trump, Putin, whoever you want to call, can save Nigerians from dying further, they will clap for such nation and they will welcome such nation. People are dying. Let's stop pretending. Nothing you can compare to the life of a human being. Nothing on the face of the earth. I feel so saddened when I see the way the government is going about the activities of governance. It is not the way to go about it.
Right. So just a gentle reminder for people, you are a former presidential candidate and you are clearly saying that the way the current president is handling the situation on the ground is not the right way. What would you do differently that would protect Christians in Nigeria?
You need to engage the services of private mercenaries, employ more technology, on-the-spot technology, to be able to identify the hideouts of these people. And moreover, make sure that the serving members of the military, both Army, the Navy, the Air Force, they are properly motivated. Comprehensive insurance cover for them. And anyone that happened to lose his life in the course of battle, make sure that the family members are taken care of. Am I communicating? Equip them properly. And also, as the president of the country, I wouldn't be traveling to places when my house is burning. You should sit back. Sit back and do the homework. Make sure that if in the economy, the areas that you also feel that people are being pressed, reduce taxation. Because people cannot be dying. You are also pushing them to go and pay more tax. At the same time, there are no food security for them. Ensure that the farmers can be able to go back so that they will produce food for people to eat. Even the people that will be fighting the war front, how are they sure that their family they left behind are well taken care of? How would they concentrate fully? The Nigerian military should be taken as a priority in the past, not the way it is now. They are not properly taken care of and they cannot work. And now moving forward, if there are people that were enlisted into the military as repentant terrorists please make sure they are removed from the military. Otherwise, the crowding effect will be there. The negative effect will be there. As much as you are trying to solve the problem, more problems will be being created, and you cannot work that way when you have an enemy inside. You can't win a war.
Thank you very much, Sam, for that contribution. Ben, you have the final words to wrap this up. You heard Sam mention the way forward, in his view. Is that the way to go? Is that what you're getting from people on the ground, that this could help protect Christians and generally people that are suffering from terror attacks inside Nigeria?
Yeah, Eddie, you see, the role of the social media will also, it has to come on board here. If you see the kind of hatred being churned out to the public, either on the side of Muslims or on the side of Christians against one another by some people who claim to be religious clerics, I think it's leaving so much to be desired that has to be taken care of. Then in terms of the fight even against terrorism, it shouldn't just be one-sided. That's why the Catholic Bishops Conference will say that there is always time lapse. Each time there is an attack in a village or where it's predominantly Christian or something, the response time is so slow, you know. In the same way, the Muslims will say it is also so in some other villages. So in other words, everything evolves around government. They should do a lot in terms of protecting everybody. Then the use of science and tech. Why is it that today we're hearing that terrorists have started using drones? They attack these areas they so choose, and the attacks are calculated.
How optimistic are you that this will actually be dealt with?
Honestly, I am an incurable optimist that no matter the darkness, there will always be sunshine. So with this pressure being mounted on Nigeria, and the Nigerians, majority of them are now seeing the light, I foresee that Nigeria will just, come out from the darkness so soon and very soon, Eddie.
Thank you very much, Ben. Soon and very soon is the hope for many Nigerians that their people will not be killed by armed men or terrorists of any kind. Thank you very much to the both of you, fellow Sam Eke, political analyst and former presidential candidate. Also, Ben Chimang, DW correspondent in Abuja, Nigeria. Nigerian officials insist the violence is driven by banditry, competition over land and resources, and insecurity, not solely religious persecution, highlighting a complex conflict.
I believe there is genocide and there is persecution against Christians being carried out in this country. Take a look at Plateau State. When you see how villages are being sacked, churches are desecrated, worshippers are killed, people are kidnapped. Count the bodies, count the incidences. It points to all of that.
What is happening is quite sad, and we must admit the fact that it's the reality, and this is a fact that Christians are being killed. This has been going on now for many years, and that this did not start under this particular administration under Tinubu. We need to stop the killing, regardless of whoever faith one believes in, that these are Nigerians and they deserve to be protected. So I think government needs to come out clean, and what should concern it more is how to stop this killing, and it must stop now.
Well, a lot has been said, and a lot of issues will be raised around this heightened, vexing and threatening spark. But for me, as a senior citizen, and with all the responsibility and sincerity invested in me by God Almighty, I beg to declare that there are unwanted and alarming killings in all parts of Nigeria, but cutting across all religions and ethnicities. But there is no genocide or state-sponsored murders going on by its true dictionary definition and intent of the United Nations. And when you analyze available data, you will also discover that Muslim-populated states and/or areas or communities are the worst victims of this mayhem.
Abuja says it is deploying security forces, reforming operations, and investing in stabilization and development, showing their commitment to improving security. What do you think? Please share your thoughts with us on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.